Blog Talk Radio.
Pleasant good evening to you once again. You're in tune to the Bible Coach, and I'm your host, Tim D. Washington. I want to thank you again for joining tonight as we are in this Word once more and again. We have come tonight to open up the Word of God and to allow the Word of God to speak to our hearts, our minds, our souls. It is such a need for such a time as this, as we are living in the last days, and the last days are truly upon us. And we want you to be encouraged. We want you to be challenged to dig a little deeper in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the thing that you're going to need. You're going to need in order to overcome in this world that we're living in. And I trust in that the Lord has allowed you to have a great day. And of course, if you're looking at the troubles that you have experienced in your life, or you're looking at some of the issues in life that you have experienced, if whatever the case may be, I want you to know that we're living this time frame where God is going to utilize you in these last days. If you are yielded to Him, He will use you to accomplish His work and His purpose. He's already chosen you to accomplish a particular task that He has assigned you to complete and do. And so we want you, again, to be mindful of the fact that you are a part of the family of God. And tonight we're going to be dealing with the subject, God's Emergency Warning. God's Emergency Warning is our subject that we'll be sharing with you tonight. And so you can write that in your notes, that tonight we're talking on the subject, God's Emergency Warning. God's Emergency Warning. And so we want you to grab your Bibles. We've got quite a few different texts that we want to expose you to. It is important that you begin to look at the Word of God for yourself. And right here on the Bible Coach, our whole plan and job is just to coach you to studying the Word of God. We want you to take the time out to go into the Word and study it for yourself. If you know a friend or a family member that you'd like for them to tune in, just pass this text message. If you received it by way of text, or you saw it online, or you went to Blog Talk Radio and you saw it in the archives, why don't you pass your text to someone else and invite them also to listen on Monday nights and Thursday nights at 9 o'clock. I want to also say to you that the Bible Coach is now ministering at the Training Ground Ministry over in Fort Worth, Texas, at 3625 Little Page Street. And we are there, and God is pouring out His blessings. The Spirit of the Lord is dwelling there. We are in the community. We're going door to door, knocking on the doors and walking up and down the streets and meeting the families and people in that community. And I must tell you, there is quite a few families that we've met, and there's a whole lot of work to be done in that community. There is homelessness in that community. There is hunger in that community. And we don't always have all of the resources that we need in order to accomplish the task that is set before us. And so we're calling on partners, for you to partner with us. We are creating what we call the Gideon 300. The Gideon 300, Gideon had an army of 300 men, and they were able to defeat a multitude of skilled warriors that God gave them the victory over them, that you couldn't even number the cattle, the camels and the horses and all those things that they rode upon. It was such a multitude, but God gave little Gideon the victory with 300 men, and he divided his army up into three divisions of 100. And so our Gideon 300 army is going to be divided into three companies of 100. And the way you can partner with us is can give on one of those levels in one of those companies. The company number one is we're looking at folks who will be giving $100. And then the second company will be 100 folks who are giving $50. And then the last group is going to be 100 that is giving $25 a month. And I pray that you will commit yourself to doing that, to get in one of those divisions of 100 people and give on the level that God has blessed you to give on. I want to encourage you also that if you believe that you can give a lot more than what we're asking for, then feel free to do so. But we would love for you to give consistently because what we're trying to accomplish is to complete the payment to pay off that facility within our second year, completely pay it off, and so that we can move on, because we have a fellowship hall that we want to build upon that property, as well as some community services and some classrooms that we want to create in that community. So please, by all means, if you would love to be a part of that, make sure that you either go to our website at thebiblecoach-traininggroundministry.org and make your contribution online. You can do that online. We have a PayPal account that is set up that's on our website, and so you can give your donation at any time, 24 hours, 7 days a week, right there. You can also give me a call at 817-715-2773 if you have questions or concerns that you need some answers to. Please feel free to call me. Now we're going to go into the message and we're going to share the Word of God. Before we do, as always, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for being such a good God to us that you would take the time out, patient with us and merciful to us. Oh God, we thank you for your love that you have demonstrated to us, and we're just saying thankful. We're just saying thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done. When we look back over our lives and we've seen how you've led us in the past, it gives us hope to know that you're able to lead us in the future. So help us to hold your hand, walk with you, and talk with you all the day long. And then, Lord, we pray that your Spirit will come and teach us tonight, give us instructions and wisdom, and help us to be very careful to give you the praise, the glory, this honor that's due to your name. But we ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen again. Tonight, we are talking on, again, the subject, God's emergency warning. God's emergency warning. Well, I want you to understand first that over in the book of Matthew, the third chapter, there was a man by the name of John the Baptist, and he was a forerunner for Christ. He came before Christ, and it was his job, it was his mission to prepare the way for Christ. And so in Matthew chapter 3, it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So here John is preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and you need to repent of your sin. Whatever you have done up to this point, John is calling the people to repent. Because repentance is part of the preparation for entering into the kingdom. Repentance starts with a heart that says that, God, not only am I sorry for what I've done, but I'm deciding along with you that I won't do it anymore, that I've decided that that my attitude and my heart for doing the thing again has changed. I don't know. I no longer want to do this thing again, and so I will conduct myself in a manner that it corresponds with my attitude and my heart that I've repented, I've turned back, I've changed my mind. The word for repent is metanoia, which means change of mind that results in a change of conduct. So your heart and your mind, when you repent, you're saying, Lord, I don't want to do it no more. And so John is saying that repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So one of the first emergency warnings that God gives us is this fact, is that you must repent of your sin. You must have a heart that says, Lord, I don't want to keep on living the same way that I've been living. I was born and shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So I came here born with the propensity to commit sin. And so God says to you and I that we must be born again. We've got to change our hearts and change our minds. You and I have to come out of the things that we're in. Every sinful act and everything that we've committed, every part of our hearts that we give room for sin, it's an encroachment upon the Spirit of God. The devil will try as best as he can to keep you running in a train of evil and a mindset that is so full of doing wrong that you will continue to operate in the way that you've been going. And so God says that I've come to arrest you. And so he startles us. John startles the people with this voice of warning. He says, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He is stirring the people up, and they're coming to be baptized of John by water. But down in verse 11, John declares, he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize with you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So John declares that the one that I am making preparations for, the one that I'm preparing the way to come, when he comes, he's not going to only baptize you with water. John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So we need the fire of the Holy Ghost, and we need the power of the anointing of God to turn from our wicked ways and to do that which is pleasing in the sight of God. So God's first warning to us is to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then over in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, Matthew the 4th chapter and verse 17, watch this, it says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus comes on the scene and he takes up where John will be leaving off. John says that I must decrease and he must increase. The time that Jesus came on the scene, now it's no longer necessary for John to continue to preach because he was preparing the way. And now that the way has been prepared and the Savior is here, there's no more of a need for John to continue his mission. His mission and his assignment had come to an end. And so here comes Jesus saying the same thing, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the first warning to the body of Christ and all of those who will come into the body of Christ The first thing that we must do is to repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Satan knows that his time is short, and he's working feverishly trying to keep you out of operating in the will and purpose of God. His whole plan, his plot, his vendetta, his whole attitude against you is to kill, steal, and destroy. He is determined that I will defeat you with all that I have. He's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is on your trail. He's trying to get as much of his spirit on you to continue to sin against God, so that you will continue to be outside of the will and the purpose of God. So Satan has decided that he's going to have an all-out war and battle and fight against you. And the Lord is saying to you, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you're going to be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are going to have to make the necessary preparation. You've got to repent of all of your sins. And did you know that Jesus was manifested to take away your sin? Yeah, Jesus came along the scene. The Bible says that his name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So Jesus was manifested to take away sin. There's no reason for you and I to be holding on or keeping sin in our life when Jesus had made provision to cover us and take away all of our sins. When Christ takes our sins, he casts our sins into the depths of the sea, and he remembers them no more. Then there's the illustration that he has separated us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. Well, I want you to know that the reason he says the east and the west is because east and west does not travel in the same direction for infinity. But when you come to north and south, they meet back around with each other. And so God says that I want to completely take away your sins and separate you from your sin, so that you will never ever have the opportunity to retain them any longer in your life. That's the power of what Christ has come to do, and that's why he tells you and I that he has come to take away our sins. Repent, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I want you to go to Luke chapter 13, because in the book of Luke chapter 13, Jesus is talking to his disciples, because you know, sometimes we begin to focus on other people's sins, or we make light of our own sins and we spotlight other people's sins. And so Jesus is saying in Luke chapter 13 in verse 1, he says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. And Jesus answered them, said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things. Because, see, some people believe that if you were suffering, that you were ill-favored of God. That was a popular belief then, that if you had to suffer, then you must not have been of God. You're going through this punishment that you're worthy of this punishment. And so it's because you're ill-favored of God. And so Jesus is trying to help them to see. He says, suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then he says, are those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that would dwell in Jerusalem? And then Jesus says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So here, the warning message to us, this emergency warning, goes out to all of us. He says, if you fail to repent, then you shall likewise also perish. God says that this thing is so important, it's such an emergency, that heaven is all stirred up trying to get the people of God to repent of their sins, to turn away from everything that they have ever done in their life. He says, I want you to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset you. Whatever the sin problem is, whatever the issue is, whatever you're carrying as a weight that's holding you back from doing the will of God, he says that I want you to lay that thing aside. I want you to repent. Otherwise, you will all likewise perish. You will not make it into the kingdom of God if you keep on bearing the sin of your parents, the sin of your birth. That's why he says that you must be born again. Oh, well, I can agree with anybody. If you say that you have a lifestyle that you're living that is contrary to the will of God, no matter what it is, God says that, look, if you're a drunkard, if you're anything of that nature, guess what? You can repent and turn away from that thing, and God will accept you into the family of the kingdom of heaven. God wants you to be a part of him, and so he's calling all of us to come to the place where we have repented of all of our sins. We have changed our hearts and our minds, and we have decided that come what will or may, we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to understand this is something that is beyond man's power to do on his own. Go over to the book of Romans chapter 2, Romans the second chapter, and verse 1. Paul is saying in verse 1, he says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest does the same things. So Paul is saying that we are not in a position to be judges of other people. Yet God is the righteous judge who knows all things, and he knows them very well. And we've got to be careful that as we judge others, we are not oftentimes doing the same thing that they are doing. Because, see, all sin is separation from God. And your sin may not be spotlighted or highlighted in the great lights. It may be a hidden little thing that you have in your heart. It's called iniquity. That's the hidden sin of the heart. And nobody sometimes can or see that thing. But Paul says that you are inexcusable, O man. And then he goes on and says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. So whatever you are committing against God, know this, that the true judge, the true one who is able to rightly judge, is the God of heaven and earth. What his word has declared as being sin, it's sin. It won't change. I don't care if you try to argue or fight with the word of God. In the morning, the word of God will stand fast forever and ever. It's going to be the truth, no matter who believes it. He says, let God be God and every man a liar. So we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And none of us, no, not one of us, can say that we are all of that and a bag of chips. God says that you, my friend, are inexcusable. And then he goes on and says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and does the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Oh, my brothers, if you put yourself in a position that you are judging others and yet you haven't examined yourself to see whether you are in the faith, shame on you, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees did the same. They operated in that self-will and their man-made rules and regulations that had nothing to do with the will and the purpose of God. And so they made up all of these rules, and they became burdens to them so that they were not able to be free to worship God as it is in Christ Jesus. And in verse 4 it says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" It is the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. There is not an inborn thing on the inside of us that causes us to want to repent. We are born and shapen in iniquity, and the lust of our fathers, he says, we will do. We will operate and do things that our fathers did and our parents did for generations to come. Except you repent, we shall all likewise perish. And so this message of warning comes from God, is that, hey, you've got to get this thing right. You've got to repent of all of your sins. And not only do you need to repent, but you need to come to me, because as you come to me, it is my goodness that leads you to repentance. When the Lord is high and lifted up, the Holy Ghost lifts up Jesus. And Jesus, when he is lifted up, he says he will draw all men unto him. You must be drawn to God by the Spirit of the living God, and it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. You can't even repent on your own, or you cannot even repent with a heart to not do it again, unless God gives you the victory over the sin. You will find yourself going right back into the thing that you had come out of. You will be like a dog that returns to his own vomit, is what the Word of God says. So over in the book of 2 Timothy, and run with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and we're going to look at verse 19, through 26, because here are some very important things that Timothy and the advice that Paul is given, and this is for all of us. In verse 19 it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, in looking at verse 19, it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." The God has a sure foundation that we can build upon. In fact, he has a seal, and the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. When you began to turn away from the evil works of sin that we have done and committed before God, and we turn our hearts over unto the Lord, and we allow him to dig out and take out that iniquity that's in our hearts, then we become vessels of honor before God, and now we are ready to be used of the Master, and we are prepared for every good work. Every good work will begin to ooze out of you. You are going to be so full of the Spirit and the anointing of God that only the good can come out of you. Only the good parts that God has mastered in your life will be able to demonstrate this thing in the use God has for you. And so in verse 22 of this chapter, he says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So when God gets a hold of your heart, he begins to wash you and regenerate you and sanctify you and deliver you out of every sin. And so the warning is that God says that whenever you commit sin, it's an emergency in heaven and earth. You ought to run to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, fall down upon your knees and say, Lord, I repent of my sin. I turn away from it. Give me power to overcome this thing. And the Bible says in Revelation, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And the question is are you covered by the blood? Are you under the blood? And will you allow yourself to be released for the Master's use, prepared for every good work? Will you flee youthful lust? And will you, out of a pure heart, allow God to work in you? He says, but foolish, unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Sometimes, as a child of the living God, it's going to require you to demonstrate great patience with some people who are operating in a foolish way. They will not come to the knowledge of the truth, but they will be ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so here God is trying to help us to understand that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. There ought to be a responsibility to the servants of God that you have made an investment in the studying of the Word of God so that you may be able to live by the things that you've studied, not so much but so that you might be also apt to teach others to follow in the way of the Lord. And so he says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So is oftentimes by you bearing witness of the truth and the testimony of God that it leads men to repent of their sin. They oftentimes will turn away from the thing that they have done evil. And it says, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. There are some who are captivated by the will of the devil. They are following in the pathway of the enemy, and they continue to walk down that pathway. And God says that I need some soldiers. I need some children of God who serves me, who will be apt to teach, who will rescue people from the snare of the devil, who will pluck them out of the brand like a brand out of the fire. God is looking for some Holy Ghost-filled, fire-breathing, righteous saints of God who are anointed by the will and the power of God. You've got the gospel message in your mouth. You're ready to conquer the territory that the enemy has tried to take away from the hand of God. You are moving with such a spiritual power and anointing that you are taking back what the devil has stolen, and we are going to be soldiers of the cross. God says this in Psalms chapter 37, Psalms 37 and verse number 5. I love this here, and I wanted to share the scripture with you, so I want you to go there in Psalms 37 and verse 5, because it's a very powerful text, and I believe that if we would do this, we will find ourselves moving in the direction of the Lord. In verse number 5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light and thy as the noonday. Oh, you're going to be lit up. You're going to shine bright for the living God. You are going to demonstrate the purpose and the plan and the will of God in your life. Your life is going to be filled with the Word of God. Everything that you commit to God, He's able to keep it and to secure it. And God wants to secure you in the palm of His hand. And so He's asking you for commitment. I tell you, you will not accomplish anything in life unless you are committed to seeing it through. And so over in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 3, Psalm says, commit your way unto the Lord. And over in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Not only are we to commit our way unto the Lord, we also need to commit our works unto the Lord, and He will establish your thoughts. Your thoughts are going to be established. You see, the thoughts that you're having will begin to be transformed. Your mind will be renewed. Your thought pattern will be thinking different when you begin to repent and allow Jesus to come into your heart and mind. It will give you an empowerment from the Holy Ghost that your thoughts now are upon heavenly things. He says that don't you get your mind locked in into the things that are beneath, but set your affections on things that are above. Your way of thought thinking will gravitate to that which is above. You will begin to listen for the instructions of God. You will begin to allow Him to open up your ears and plant in you His will and His instructions, and you will follow on to know the Lord. Oh, yes, you're going to be a servant of the Most High God. So God warns us. He says that you must repent. Every one of us must repent. Over in the book of Acts the second chapter, and verse number 38, the disciples were on the day of Pentecost, and they had received the power to be witnesses, just as Jesus had told them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 80. I need you to tarry in the city of Jerusalem, he told them. He says, because then he says, you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so that was the promise that Christ had made to them. And so they began to repent and confess their sins one to another, thoughts one to another. And all of a sudden, suddenly, the Holy Ghost fell upon them, and they received the power of the anointing of God, and they began to speak under the authority and power of God so strongly and so fully that there were people who were among them who began to be pricked in their heart. They began to see that the Word of God was demonstrated in its fullness. And then they, in verse 37, says, of Acts chapter 2, it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And I want you to know that when you're under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, men are going to cry out, what shall I do? And brothers and sisters, I want you to know that when you become feel with the Holy Ghost, when you began to repent of your sins, when you accept the warnings of God and say, God, here am I. I no longer want to do this wicked thing that I've been doing for all of my days that I can remember. I want you to forgive me. And God says that I will forgive you and wash you and cleanse you and sanctify you and make you whole. I'm going to tell you something about what it is to be whole in just a moment. But I want to share a little bit more scriptures with you. And so Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so here is the process, is that you repent of your sins, you will receive remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then also in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, in another location, he says to them, repent ye therefore and be converted. So one of the warnings to us is to repent, and then we must be converted. Conversion says that I no longer want to follow in that same pathway anymore. I have desired with all of my hearts to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. With everything that's within me, I have decided that I will seek the face of God. I will run after him with all of what's in me. I'm going to move in the direction of God and give him my all in all. And so he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. See, there is going to be a latter rain of the Holy Ghost. And it's going to combine the early and the latter rain is going to fall upon men in these last days. Men and women, you're going to receive a double portion of the Spirit of God. You're going to receive the early rain and the latter rain all at one time. And so he said that if you're going to receive this, then you want to repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. You don't want to have no sin on the books of heaven. You want it all to be covered by the blotting out of the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is what covers you of all of your sins. And when you acknowledge that Jesus is your Savior and he's your Lord, he says that I came here for the purpose to seek and to save that which was lost. And he was manifested to take away our sins. If you're holding on to sin, it was not the will of God that you would continue to hold on to sin. He says, I came to take it away from you. So let it go. Let it go and release it unto God and watch God take that thing away, and he will cast it into the depths of the sea. And then in replacement of that, he will put forth his righteousness in you, and that's going to cause conversion to come into your life. This is the emergency that God is saying that we're living in a time of the end, and it's an emergency. It's a time of warning. It's a time to get right with God so that we may go home. And so he's saying to you, over in the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, he gives us some more warnings. And so it's an emergency. Did you know that heaven is all stirred up? They're looking for the day that the children of God will come home, and heaven and earth will also be one together. And so now in the book of Matthew chapter 24, he tells you a whole lot of warnings. But I love what he says in verse 4 when he's telling us about the last days. He's telling his disciples about the last days because they ask him what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. So here is the first warning. The second warning is that you want to repent and be converted, that sins may be blotted out. And then while you're on the pathway of righteousness, you've got to make sure that you take heed. In other words, pay attention, watch out, don't get caught sleeping and slumbering and lose sight of the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there are going to be some false prophets and false Christ that's going to rise in these days and is going to deceive a whole lot of people. So you better be studying the Word of God so that you may be anchored in the rock that's higher than you, that you may be anchored in a strong foundation, that even when the winds of falsehood comes against you, it will blow up on your house. It will beat upon your house, but your house will be able to stand because it has been founded upon the rock. They're going to kill you. They're going to put you in prison. They're going to hate you for the gospel's sake. Oh, the time is coming, brother, that everything that you have committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, he says that I will keep it for you. When you commit yourself to me, he says, all these things, verse 8, are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We're living in a cold-hearted world. We're living in a world where people are hurting and killing each other over some of the minutest things that you would ever want to think of. There are people who are killing, there are cops who are killing people, unarmed people. They've got some cold hearts. And so the Word of God says in verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. This is an endurance race. We are all running in this race, and we can all receive the prize of eternal life if we keep on moving forward and laying aside every weight and every sin that so easily beset us. God is calling you and I to come up to a higher standard, to come up to a higher place in him. And so he says to you that I warned you that there's going to be some false prophets and some false Christs, and there's going to be nations that are rising against nations, and there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There are going to be pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And I tell you, my friends, there are earthquakes in places that you have not even known that earthquakes would have even come into these places. Here in Texas, in Irving, Texas, they've had earthquakes. Never such things, but the Word of God is being fulfilled. It says that it would be in diverse places. It would be in strange places that earthquakes would come. And so it is that we are witnessing these things. And the Lord is trying to tell us that I got an emergency. I'm warning you to get ready and get right because I'm coming again. I'm coming again. And so I'm warning you to get ready. Be prepared. The devil is walking about as a roaring lion, but I've got you in the palm of my hand. And so here in John chapter 17, as Jesus was about to go off the scene and his mission had been accomplished, he had done the will of the Father. He had come here to do what the Father had committed him to do. And so in John chapter 17, in verse 1, it says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Jesus was about to pray. And perhaps this is the longest prayer that is recorded in the Word of God regarding Jesus. And Jesus says, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So the Lord says that I'm going to give eternal life to as many as you have given me. This thing is conditional. It's conditional on the point that all of those who have accepted the warning of God, all of those who have felt that they are living in the emergency time of history, that God is calling you out of darkness into this marvelous light, that you may become one with him. And so he says that and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So if you really want to experience eternal life, you don't have to wait until Jesus comes in the clouds of glory. God is saying to you and I that eternal life begins right now in your life, at this moment, when you know that God is your Father and that Jesus Christ was sent by him to take away your sin and to cover you. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus says, Lord, I need you to come and glorify your Son, the same glory that I had from with you from the foundation of the world. But way back when you and I together, we spoke the word and we created the heavens and the earth. He says, I want you to restore me back to that same glory, because I laid down all of that to come down 40 and two generations, that I might die upon Calvary's cross for all of those who would accept my sacrifice for themselves, that I will cleanse them from all unrighteousness. And so he says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. It is those who will keep the word of God, those who will operate and obey the word of God. He says, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all thine are mine, are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. So here God says, Jesus says, my glory is wrapped up into them. I've given you, Lord, what you told me to give them. I gave it to them. And so here it is. I've given you the warning to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I've given you the warning that false Christs and false prophets shall come, but I've given you warning. It's an emergency. Can you see the signs of the time are being fulfilled right before your eyes? You ought to run to Jesus before it's everlasting too late. You need to come to him. He says, and now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, through thy own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Jesus says, I want them to be one as we are. And here is the secret, my friends, to becoming whole. Jesus once asked a man, will you be made whole? Well, I want you to know that this is what God had revealed to me, that if you are going to be made whole, your wholeness is in relationship to your acceptance of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says that I want you to be one with us. See, the highest achievement that you can achieve, the highest position in the world that you can achieve, is not on your job, is not to become a preacher or a teacher or a pastor. None of those things is what's going to truly matter. What really is going to matter is that you know the Father for yourself. Jesus says, I reveal them to you, and he says, now, Lord, I want you to keep them in your name, and I want them to become one. And so here it is that if you will be whole, it's saying that I'm going to be one with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you're going to be complete in your righteousness, if you're going to be complete every whit, in every part of your life, if you're going to be truly made whole, it's because you are one with God. You can say like Jesus, I and my Father are one. I and my Father, we are one. He says he's going to go with me to the ends of the world. I'll be with you. I and my Father, we are one. When you look at Jesus, Jesus says, you have seen my Father, because I can't love him. I represent him in every way, in everything. So if the children of God will be made whole, it's going to be because we have become one with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Christ says, I want you to have joy. Even in the midst of what may appear to be sorrow, God said, I want you to have some joy. I have given them the word, and the world had hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou be evil. Then he says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Then he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you want to get truth, get the word, because the word of God is true and it's full of sanctification. The word of God will sanctify your soul. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So Christ says, not only have I been sent into the world, but I send you into the world. And I send you there to be a light unto the world. I send you there to redeem those who are lost, to seek and to save those which are lost. So you have a commission and a mission. And he says, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Christ says, I'm sanctifying myself that they may be sanctified through the truth. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So everybody that believes in your word that you speak to them, God says to you and I, he says, that they that are all may be one as thou. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. If there are going to be some people that's going to believe on Jesus because of the word that you have spoken to them, what a powerful thing, that they all may be one as thou, Father, are in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and has loved them as thou hast loved me. I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the word had not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's the whole chapter of John chapter 17. It's a full prayer of Jesus Christ, and Christ is just telling you and I, that I want them to be made whole. I want them to be one with us. And if you're going to receive the emergency warning of God, you're going to get close to God. You're going to press into Christ, and you're going to become one with him, one in faith, one in baptism, one with God. You're going to be one in him. And as that oneness relationship comes, you're going to be completely made whole. If you're going to be made whole, you have received the emergency warning of God. Get ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we know that it's an emergency. It's time for your children to get right and get ready to go home. Help us to be one with you so that we may be whole in you, that we may be complete, lacking nothing, that we may be thoroughly furnished in the word of God, thoroughly furnished with gifts and the fruit of the Spirit, that we might live like you would have us to, that we may be empowered and that we may be encouraged by the word. And then, Lord, we will go and tell a dying world that soon and very soon the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. We will warn them to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Help us, Lord, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen again. My friends, thank you once again for tuning in. I pray that you will receive the emergency warning of God and that you would conduct in your steps and that you would order your life in harmony with the will and plan of God before it's everlasting too late. God bless you and have a great night.